You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for February 10th, 2023. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where, folks, I gotta tell you, we're fed up with all the malarkey, and that's no joke. It's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Thank you very much to the Brad blog for having Driftglass on with Digby.
Uh-huh.
And you can go, and if you Google the Bradcast.
Yes, the Bradcast, the Brad blog.
And it was a good show. You were on with Digby, and you discovered something about the calendar and Digby, right?
I did. It was last month, January was her 20th anniversary at this blogosphere thing. Yeah, and she's, her first post was like, all right, time to do this thing. But, you know, don't be surprised if I just drop it in a couple of weeks, because I go back to being obscure. And that was 20 long years ago. And you just had a 19th. 18th anniversary, right?
Oh my God. I don't know.
In November?
It was 2004. Yeah. So yeah. This year, mm-hmm. November of next year, of 2024, will be my 20th.
Right.
So it was my 18th. Yeah. And, so.
And I'm, my blog turns 18 in March, I think, early March.
Yep.
So I had to have Digby buy me beer because I'm not old enough to buy beer. Old enough to buy beer. So,
that's right. Yeah,
we had a fine time. We did a No Fair Remembering Stuff thing just because we all remember stuff. And it was just kind of delightful to be around people who were like, you remember when? Yes, I do. I sure do. And do you remember that? Oh, yes, I sure do. And of course, the best, I hate to say this, folks, because it's not really fair. You know, there's no swearing because Brad is actually on terrestrial radio.
He's on broadcast radio. Yeah.
But some of the best show was the show after the show.
Yeah.
Where we just stayed on the line and hung out because it was really a lot of fun. Talking to these veterans who'd been around the block along with us. And, you know, we could sort of let our hair down. Not that I have much to let, but it was fun. And I had a blast doing it. And I hope they have me back. And let's move on with our little podcast, shall we, Blue Gal?
Yeah, and our little podcast and our little reactions to the State of the Union. We by the way, I know I tweeted this, but we buy more snacks for the State of the Union than we do for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my, yes. By leaps and bounds.
Yeah. So we were propped up in bed, eating snacks and watching State of the Union. And Driftglass was taking notes because he knew he was going to be on the broadcast the following day.
It was going to be a test. So
Digby would have a quiz for him, you know. And you were doing hash marks for every time he said folks.
Yeah.
Because if we made it a drinking game, we'd be dead.
I'd be under the table by the end of the night.
Folks, and fed up with the malarkey. And I got to tell you, and it was. Classic Biden.
It really was.
The speech was classic Biden. And all the reviews are in, and it was, you know, the Republican Party wants to change the subject from that speech immediately because it was such a success.
Yeah.
In particular, engaging Marjorie Taylor Greene, heckler Marjorie Taylor Greene, and allowing her to negotiate with him on Social Security and Medicare in front of everybody, in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
You said at lunch today that, you know, this is one of the few opportunities that Biden has to speak to
a large audience,
wide swath of the American people, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I hate that term, but the American people without a filter, without it getting cut. This is just, he's there to say this.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was masterful. Oh, I guess we've decided that we're not going to cut Medicare and Social Security.
Yeah.
Rick Scott went, what?
Yeah. What? I'm not going to name the name of the person or people in this room, but they're in here.
It's Rick Scott, and he's sitting right over there.
And
really he was chairman of the Senate Republican Campaign Committee 30 years. No, last year.
Last year. He took all your money and threw it away. You don't.
Yeah. But we found out right afterwards that someone at MSNBC listens to our show.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Both Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes were sitting there chatting and talking about Barack Obama visiting the Republican getaway or the retreat.
Yeah.
Which we had just spoken about on Tuesday's show.
Literally. It dropped in the afternoon. It is an obscure moment in history lost to almost everyone. Nobody mm-hmm. talks about it anymore. The only place you ever hear about it is on our podcast. When Barack Obama went to the Baltimore, the Republican retreat, right. And sat in a room with a bunch of all the Republicans, excuse me, and took them on the ACA for an hour and a half, or an hour and 20 minutes, whatever it was. And they were like, yeah, this reminds me a lot of that. And we both said, oh my God, they listened to our podcast.
They listened to our show.
Someone on their staff, because there's no way in the world that little obscure reference comes out of nowhere.
Right.
And appears as the comparative for Joe Biden on the day we drop the Affordable Care Act, the health care part two thing. Yeah.
Now, you and I both, in addition to that masterful moment of actually speaking back to Republicans and winning, you and I each had different reactions or different comparisons from history that we remembered.
Yes, absolutely.
And yours was Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah. Well, a couple things about Bill Clinton. Clinton got dinged a lot for his State of the Union address being long and being like small ball, small stuff, small things, which was, you know, like, I don't know, midnight basketball or you know, V-chips or whatever. Joe Biden's speech was full of that stuff. And it was great because it was all stuff. He was so smart. The first half of his speech was all targeted towards senior citizens.
Yeah.
Retirees, near retirees, people who are terrified. They might feel icky about drag shows, but they're terrified of the price of their insulin or the insulin mm-hmm. for their spouse. And Joe Biden comes out with, you know, senior home health care. Got to take care of that.
That's the thing. They want to stay in their homes.
Right.
Everyone who's over the age of 58 is thinking about that.
Absolutely.
And how their life savings will be drained by needing to go to a nursing home that they don't want to go to. They want to stay in their homes.
And their drug prices are killing them, and he wants mm-hmm. to take care of that. And these are all issues that I was listening to David Frum on a podcast somewhere out there in the ether. And he said something very, very straightforward, very smart. He said, you know, people in this room, in this universe that I travel in, might care deeply about all these culture war stuff and et cetera. But people out in the real world, I don't worry about diabetes. I don't worry about insulin. But a lot of Americans do. And that's who he's talking to. He's talking to, because he's already got my vote. He's already mm-hmm. got your vote. But he would like to talk to the people who feel like the Democratic Party doesn't give a shit about their real problems. So he talked about union workers and streets and bridges and fair wages and taxing the rich to pay for, you know, and by the way, if you cap drug prices, you bring the deficit down. And it was just, it was a genius thing to do. But Bill Clinton, other than being small ball Bill, in 1998, the Monica Lewinsky thing had just broken. People were talking about him resigning on the eve of his State of the Union address. And he got up and he said, he didn't ask and answer his own question that I think saved his presidency or at least kept him afloat, which was, what shall we do with the budget surplus that we now have? And the answer was four words: save Social Security first. That was the smart move. That was a reminder. And of course, George Bush said, fuck that. I want tax cuts and I want more tax cuts. And of course, right after that, the deficits balloon again. Republicans go back to not caring about it. But the whole idea that you concentrate like a laser on jobs and on Social Security and Medicare and things that people out in the real world where you and I live actually care about, that was the bulk of Joe Biden's speech. And the other thing was, he really believes this stuff. He really does believe the blue collar kitchen table stuff. And he was enthusiastic and happy to talk about it. And he wanted to talk about it. And you can feel that coming off of him, that he has no guile in him. He really does care about those things. And I won't talk about manufacturing because I would spend the rest of the podcast talking about manufacturing.
It would be a 3-hour podcast, which would be fun.
And it would be fun.
Sometime you'll have opportunities to do that with other podcasters.
Yeah, I'll do that with Hal
Sparks. So that your wife doesn't have to edit the show.
Yes.
My comparison of this week's State of the Union goes back to actually Joe Biden from 2012 debating with Paul Ryan about Social Security and Medicare.
Uh-huh.
And here's Paul Ryan wanting to give seniors a $15,000 voucher to go out and buy health insurance.
Uh-huh.
And Joe Biden just looks at the camera and says, "Hey, seniors." And it's such a sweet spot for him. to be talking to seniors about Social Security and Medicare and saying, come on, man, you know who created these programs? You know which party mm-hmm. created these programs? And he just cuts right through the malarkey, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who do you trust to protect Social Security and Medicare? The guy who wants to give you a voucher instead of a guaranteed benefit? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Wipe the floor with Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
And because not only because Joe Biden knew what the Democratic Party's reputation was on Social Security and Medicare, everybody knew what Paul Ryan's was.
Plan. His plan.
What his plan was, what his reputation was, you know, the zombie-eyed granny starver.
Right. And Biden did the whole thing while he was smiling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheerfully saying, come on.
Laugh it off. Yeah.
Come on. You can't take this clown seriously. You know, he didn't say Ronald Reagan, but, you know, like, remember Ronald Reagan said Medicare was the first step on the road to communism? You know, these people have been after your benefits your entire adult life. And Biden has been in the Senate all that time, or virtually all that time. Yeah. And so he's been there a very long time. He knows all these people. And I forget where I heard this, but he was, you know, he was Joe the deal maker.
Right.
Cutting deals during
political
the speech.
Deal makers. Right.
Yeah. You know, he's like baiting the Republicans to stand up and start screaming, how dare you suggest we're going to take Social Security and Medicare away? All right. We have a deal, right? We're good, right?
Let's go.
Boom. Let's go. Let's move on. And it was genius.
Yeah.
But his sincerity and his clear joy, is the pleasure he takes in talking about these things, really came through, and that really worked in his favor. And
and thanking and congratulating Kevin McCarthy on being speaker.
Right.
And then turning and saying, the greatest speaker in the history of the country is Nancy Pelosi.
Great thing about Nancy. Good job. Way to go, Nancy.
He didn't want to ruin this guy's reputation, but he looked forward to working with him.
Yeah.
I look forward to working with you, Kevin.
Yeah, well, and his other secret weapon was Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who sat behind him looking like he was sitting on a rotten turnip.
Yep.
Whole, just this kind of sour, dumb. And the thing we noticed was that the Marjorie Taylor Greene faction of the party was working McCarthy like a dressage horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin McCarthy didn't stand until he got the signal from Marjorie that it was okay to stand.
Yeah.
He was hesitant. And then when they finally stood up, he stood up. But they were sitting on their hands for, you know, Americans and democracy and mm-hmm. veterans. They were just looking like, God damn, these people are awful. Whiny, petty, bitchy, racist scumbags who just can't get it, who can't stand up and applaud democracy.
Yep.
And Kevin McCarthy was just sitting back there just looking like, I'd rather be anyplace else. I hate this. I hate my job. I'm so bored. And everyone on the left was screaming and jumping up and down and applauding. And it was just the worst night for Kevin McCarthy.
Because
I think this is, you just watched the end of his speakership. However,
He just failed. He failed completely this week.
Yeah.
And the other thing is watching Marjorie Taylor Greene in her fancy post-divorce coat screaming mm-hmm. her head off. And Lauren Boebert not. Lauren Boebert sitting on her hands and mm-hmm. scowling at everything that was being said. That is the difference between their midterm election.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene handily winning her Georgia district and Lauren Boebert barely squeaking out a victory in a recount.
Yep.
And so she can't make a complete spectacle of herself, because if she does, that increases opposition to her mm-hmm. in her district. And that's that. I mean, she's got a really tough race ahead of her in 2024. I think mm-hmm. she's going to lose.
I think you're right.
Because they know she can be. They know she can be beaten now. We got to talk about Joe Scarborough.
Yeah, it's the law. I don't want to, but it is the law.
Well, he's been laughing at his quote unquote former party this week.
I really do think that there is a plant inside the RNC. And it is a Democrat that was planted in there somewhere in like 2013, 2014, with the sole purpose of making Republicans the dumbest political party that's ever existed. Like, Biden didn't even have to give a good speech last night. The Republicans, time and again, just
helped Alley-oop. Make it amazing.
Boom. Set up one jam after another.
It's the plant who wrote the RNC memo that said we need to lean into election denialism.
Yeah. Even and Gray Craig.
Even after the midterms. Yeah.
Bring a balloon.
Yeah, I mean.
Had a Democrat plant in the Republican Party in, say, 2013, 2014 to destroy Republicans. It's like, are you talking about Donald Trump? Who are you talking about?
It was me, Blue Gal.
And the idea that it has to be the Democrats' fault that your party is, your former party, yeah, is failing.
Well, that's always the case, right? I mean, it's always the case. It's always, if you listen to enough Never Trumpers, and I do, they will always get around to saying, and you know, the liberals have a responsibility here too. You know, liberals, blah, blah, blah. The liberals called, you know, the liberals made racists feel uncomfortable. Liberals cried wolf. Liberals did this and that. And, you know, because it, you know, what do you do if you're them? Because you've spent, what, 30 years of your life being part of that fascist party, and until they ran you out or until your gag reflex kicked in. But you can't be a Democrat because icky socialist Democrats are what you've been hating and slandering your entire life. You've run on them. You hate them. Your whole brand was bagging on people like you and I. So there's no place left for people like Scarborough to go, but in the middle, both sides, independent. And every time they do that, they sound stupid. And they really sound like, look, I don't have any principles, but I can't be a Democrat, and the Republicans won't have me anymore. So I'm going to make a virtue out of bagging on both sides and finding a reason to blame Democrats. And you can find that. And I was thinking back 18 years ago, my first couple of posts were all about both sides do it. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. It's just such a consistent, it is, and we haven't said this in a long time, but I want to repeat it for the record. The biggest lie in American politics, the biggest lie in the media, the most toxic lie we have is the both sides do it lie. And anyone mm-hmm. who's participating in the both sides do it lie, whether you like them or not, whether they're an ally or not, they're the ones causing the problem because they're giving safe harbor to terrible people who mm-hmm. should in fact be held accountable for their lives. But if they can get away with saying, well, you know, it's not me, it's the extremes on both sides, we're never going to be rid of this nonsense. So,
well, we're going to talk about this a little later in the show, but have you noticed that the American mainstream media will not say Republicans overturned Roe v. Wade?
Oh, yeah. No.
They will not say that. So let's talk about the Republican response.
Yes.
Which I watched through the Hal Sparks filter because I just can't watch those things without some sort of, you know, barrier between me and that. But
yeah,
Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her faith and her surviving cancer. Good for her.
Good for her.
That's all good. But mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out what she was responding to.
She wasn't responding to anything. She wasn't responding to anything that Joe Biden said, anything that any Democrat has said. She was pre-programmed. I mean, it was just reading. It's like reading comments over at the Breitbart, Breitbart Collective. It was just gibberish. It was a bunch of – it was a word salad of the most inane, paranoid MAGA talking points just thrown together. And the bridge into it was, you know, I wouldn't believe anything Joe Biden says. Which is just a way of saying, I didn't listen to a goddamn word Joe Biden said.
Yeah.
Because why bother? She is talking to the 28% of Americans who are lost forever to reason, who are racist, bottom-feeding filth, and who are the base of the Republican Party. And all she wants to do with them is what every other Republican wants to do with them, which is get them fired up and let them know that she's going to fight the evil satanic cult on the left. And that's what she did. It was embarrassing. It made me long for the glory days of Bobby Jindal coming out and giving his, you know, big strong man chest beating performance, or Marco Rubio pausing every few seconds to take a little tiny bottle of water and take a little sip because he was very dehydrated. Like, that seems like, you know, the height of bipartisan diplomacy. And no, Sarah Huckabee was out there doing what she does. And a couple of quotes that you probably have already heard by now, but she was saying things like, quote, we are under attack in a left-wing culture war that we didn't start and never wanted to fight, which is not just bullshit. It's 180 degrees opposite from the truth. The only thing these people have is fear of drag shows and CRT and gas stoves and Barack Obama's birth certificate and Vince Foster and Pizzagate and Benghazi. That's all these fuckers have. So they have invented a culture war out of whole cloth, and this is all they know. This is all their people know. These are the, if you've seen any of the Marvel movies, The Winter Soldier, These are the code words from the Russian book that triggers them into becoming killing machines. If you just say Benghazi, Hillary's email, CRT, they forget everything that's happened in the last 2 years, and they become the reliable, reprogrammable meatbags they've always been. And that's what she did. So here's another quote. Every day we are told we must partake in their rituals, salute their flags, and worship their false idols. And quote, the divide and line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy. And of course, she's right. She represents crazy.
And normal means white.
Normal means her. Her and the white trash that she is speaking for. But the weirdest dissonant reactions I heard, honestly, were between conservative women. Two of whom nominally identify as never Trumpers, and both of whom clearly despise people like us, the Democrats. They hate the fact they have to work with us. One of them is Sarah Longwell, who does focus groups for the Bulwark and works with the New York Times and MSNBC. And she said Huckabee made her skin crawl. And Huckabee's fake, quote, slack jaw delivery was utterly repellent. And Huckabee has dead eyes. And nothing she says is of any interest to her because Ms. Longwell knows that Huckabee knows better. She knows she's lying. The other person who directly counterposed for this also works at the Bulwark. It's the flatly affected Real Clear Politics lady who splits her time between cable TV on Fox News and cable TV on MSNBC, A.B. Stoddard, who thought Huckabee was, quote, a star. I think she's a comer now. And she said, quote, it was a very well-written speech. It was none of those things.
None of those
things.
It was
horrible. No. But she wants there to be a Republican Party she can go back to. And Sarah Sanders is the kind of creature who's going to make that party happen, I guess. So you got to say nice things.
Oh, that new generation. She wants a new generation of Republicans.
I do too.
Which means you're leaving Trump in the dumpster, right. I take it.
Well,
yeah.
And speaking of creepy Huckabee fans, Nikki Haley said, quote, congratulations to Sarah Huckabee on a powerful rebuttal. You crushed it. No. She might be able to crush, you know, a beer can with her fist, but I don't think she can crush anything but that. It was a horribly creepy, awful, you know, pandering performance. But speaking of Nikki Haley, who talks all kinds of nonsense these days because she really wants to grab a hold of that 2% of the vote in the primaries next year.
Yes, she does.
We'll get her maybe the vice, because she's running for vice president. She wants to be vice president, mm-hmm. whoever. It could be Hitler. It could be Mussolini. It could be DeSantis. She doesn't care. She wants to be vice president for somebody. And this is her from a couple of days ago. And she just talks a lot of bullshit. Scary fact, when Joe Biden was elected to the Senate, the national debt was $430 billion. Today, it is $31.4 trillion. And you're just supposed to draw the conclusion that Joe Biden personally racked up all that money on the national credit card. Well, you know what? When Nikki Haley was first elected governor of South Carolina, Abe Vigoda was alive and well. And now he's dead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, now he's dead. So draw your own conclusion, Sherlock. I mean, I'm not saying that Nikki Haley killed Abe Vigoda, but it sure looks like she must have had a hand in it.
I think it sure looks like it could be.
In fact, there's a whole lot of people that died between
maybe them. If Nikki Haley hadn't been governor of South Carolina, Abe Vigoda would still be alive today.
He was a national treasure, okay? And now he's gone, and Nikki Haley was in office during some of that time, and I think you can draw your own very logical conclusion between A and B, A.B. Vigoda, if you will, A.B. Stoddard. Now I'm turning into Glenn Beck, so... Not now. Anyway.
Oh, and that was the other thing that Hal Sparks had on was Glenn Beck's State of the Union response.
Oh, God.
Which was, he said that Joe Biden thinks that the government can tell private companies how much to charge for their goods.
Yeah.
Without mentioning that it's insulin we're talking about.
Yeah.
Not one time in his entire rant did he mention the word life-saving insulin.
Well, that would have screwed everything up.
Yeah.
Oh, and just speaking of responses to the president's State of the Union, there was a Forward Party response. And Andrew Yang said, hey, dudes, come and hang with us and listen to our response to the Forward Party. The Forward Party's response to the State of the Union. And there were like seven replies. It was like, nope, hard pass, nope. Nope, don't care. Don't want to hear it. You're not a real party.
And our friend Steve said he totally missed it.
I know. I missed it too. I'm sure it's out there on YouTube, and I'm sure I'll watch it someday when I have literally nothing else to do. But hey, way to go, Andrew. You just keep pitching, boy. You're gonna get one across the plate yet.
So I made you giggle yesterday, Driftglass, when I mentioned to you that I said, Driftglass, do you know that the Iowa Republican Party wants to let 14-year-olds drive to work in the mines?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a little bit of hyperbole, but not much.
Yeah.
As you put in our notes, will Iowa start a take your parents to work day if they succeed in rolling child labor laws back to the days before the 1938 Fair Labor Standards Act banned the labor of children under the age of 16 in mining, manufacturing, and other dangerous industries like logging.
Uh-huh.
Not that there's a lot of logging in Iowa.
Yeah, I was wondering, how much logging goes on in Iowa again? I don't know.
Yeah.
Blogging maybe, but, you know, logging, no.
Man, I had to cross-post this at Crooks and Liars, but it's from Common Dreams. Quote, labor advocates on Tuesday decried a business-backed bill, of course, introduced by Republican state lawmakers in Iowa. Now I want to repeat that. That sounds like just an introduction, but it's a really important thing to note. A business-backed bill introduced by Republican state lawmakers.
Uh-huh.
That means business lobbyists wrote the bill.
Yes, they did. Absolutely.
And then their little employees, the Republican state lawmakers in Iowa, walked it in and introduced it as actual legislation in the state of Iowa. Mm-hmm. It would roll back child labor laws so that teens as young as 14 could work in previously prohibited jobs, including mining, logging, and animal slaughtering, provided they're in a work trainee program.
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, it's work study, right. You know.
I'm job shadowing the guy who butchers hogs.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I'm 14 and a half, and at 14 and a half, under this bill, I'm allowed to drive to work.
Yeah. You know, look, if your family has owned a farm for three generations and you're used to handling farm animals, I can understand dad or mom asking you to start working out with some of the nastier tasks or more
in the summertime, sure, when you're not supposed to be at school.
Exactly. Some of the more difficult. 4-H is a wonderful program. I was in it, right, for about a year when I was a young man. But that's not this. This is, we need child labor to do shitty work.
We need labor. Yeah. We need workers. Yep. Yes. We're desperate for workers.
Well,
and so our industries need workers. We're not going to get immigrants to come into Iowa to do this work, because we don't want immigrants.
No.
We want white kids, mm-hmm, to come and work for us for minimum wage.
Yeah.
And we want them to easily get to the workplace and work for us, because we don't have enough workers. And they will not lobby for more liberal immigration policy.
No, just the wall.
Because that would solve their problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Springfield, there's a lot of talk about, how do we keep the young people here when Chicago is so close by?
All the time.
If you'd like to create a system that will launch your children the hell away from your community as if by catapult, asking, mm-hmm, them to participate in work study in mining, logging, and animal slaughter is right up there. No, Mom.
If you want them to stay, invite immigrants into your community,
yes,
who open restaurants that,
yes,
are cool to hang out,
exactly,
in.
Exactly.
Have music at night in your community. Mm-hmm. One Springfield, Illinois mayor said, we got to turn off the summer fest at 9:30. People got to sleep.
I was at a meeting this morning at 7 in the morning where we were joking about that before the meeting started. We
were just were you? At your community organizing meeting at 7:30?
Because both of us had lived in Chicago for a while. Like, Jesus Christ, this town. You know, good God. People are trying to sleep. Turn down that damn... Turn down that the Black Oak Boys. Yeah, turn down the, like, old people should be able to sleep in peace far away from the center of town.
From the downtown.
Right. The young people are trying to keep your community alive so that you'll have retirement homes and Social Security coming in, etc. And anyway, you know what? In addition to Iowa in logging and mining and animal slaughter, there is apparently a labor shortage in the top tiers of the American pundit system. apparently, the first tier of the American political opinion having system doesn't already have enough privileged, white, recently former, middle-aged male Republicans who, goddammit, have a thing or two to say about what's going on in this country. Things that need to be said. And so the New York Times has hired themselves a third auxiliary break glass in case David Brooks retires, very serious and humble conservative defender of the conservative faith, named David French. And David French, if you know him at all, you know him as a third-tier writer over at the National Review for a number of years, and you know him as the completely obscure weirdo that Bill Kristol pulled out of obscurity to run for president in 2016 because he didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Or Donald Trump.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. And Mr. French had some very rustic views about the roles of women and gay marriage. And he's very, very conservative and very, very religious and very, very religiously conservative. But he polished up his resume just enough so that the New York Times hired him as, you know, the guy to sit between David Brooks and Bret Stephens, apparently, on the panels. And in his inaugural column, Mr. French borrowed the same algorithm that Brooks has been using for years to crank out his weekly Both Sides Do It claptrap at the Times, and cranked himself out a big old steaming loaf of Both Sides Do It for his own. And that's the state of punditry in America. The top tier of American journalism keeps hiring the same crusty old conservative weirdos to tell the same fucking fairy tales that the owners of the Times and the wealthy people who live and die by the Times of the Upper East Side and the Upper West Side want to hear. And that's, mm-hmm. But apparently there's nobody else out there they can find. So they had to resort to David French. So God bless.
Yeah, David French.
Yep.
On the massive disconnect between what Biden has actually accomplished, expanding healthcare, adding a record number of jobs, launching infrastructure renewal, boosting American manufacturing, getting out of Afghanistan, etc. A new ABC News survey shows most Americans don't think he's accomplished much. This is another measure of how bad the mainstream media is failing with their both-siderist nonsense.
Yep.
As Joni Mitchell sings, you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Republicans are now being told to put up or shut up on the budget, and they're coming up with things like cut healthcare subsidies and take away student loan forgiveness.
Yeah.
Hey, that'll get you like a top. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how that works out for them. And on topic, again, airbag moments on Twitter noted. A Washington Post article about people being denied abortions who physically needed an abortion to survive. Does not mention Republicans, does not mention Christian evangelicals, doesn't mention that it's the right-wing Supreme Court that took away this right from sick women. Women who have a physical ailment that requires this life-saving care. That should not be controversial.
No. Well,
and wasn't. Until the Supreme Court decided that they should run this issue.
Yeah, the conservative members of the Supreme...
The Republican appointed lying conservative kangaroo court deciding this. Well, and the conservative Republican state legislatures who jumped on the chance to take away women's health care.
Well, you can't have a horse race, Blue Gal. You can't call yourself objective journalists.
Yeah.
If you're going around,
if you actually blame the people who actually did it.
Yeah, you can't, you know, people, and those people, based on January 6th and everything else that the Republicans do, I think that people who report honestly on the truth of going on in this country should be given combat pay. Hazardous duty pay, because those are the sorts of people who will show up at your house.
Yeah.
And will show up at your workplace and make your life a living hell, because they know that Jesus is on their side. And that Democrats are Satan. And I think at least part of it, I mean, part of it is just corporate greed. It's, we don't want to call out the people who are doing the bad stuff because that will lose us readers. Mm-hmm. But part of it, I got to believe, is fear. They're just these people who live relatively comfortable, privileged lives do not want to risk a mob showing up at their door, dragging them into the street and making them eat paste, because that's just something they don't want to talk about or touch. So that's all happening over there. So we don't need to worry about it because it's all over there. And one day, you know, eventually the mob comes for you if you don't stop the mob now. But they don't seem to get that.
Well, women voters are coming for you. And we've seen that over and over again. And actually, the Pennsylvania state legislature secured this past week a Democratic majority to protect women's rights in the majority now. And the votes of the three state reps in Pittsburgh, the turnout was higher and the margins were wider than the Biden election in 2020.
Wow.
Not tired of winning, Driftglass. Tired of winning.
Getting kind of used to it. Getting kind of like it.
You know,
we have been in sort of this crouch of when is the next punch coming and where will it hit us?
For a long time.
And so it's, you know, we are by nature a cautious, glass half empty-ish kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I got to say, having someone who is a happy warrior delivering a speech about the glories of manufacturing and unions and middle class stuff to a hall that's half howler monkey lunatics
who are making him
look like a genius, and half Democrats who are like, yes, yes, let's talk
USA.
More about this stuff.
You and I, when he said committing to buying American products through government contracts, you and I just went, whoa.
All right, man. Again, don't veer me off into the manufacturing discussion, but way to go.
Driftglass too happy.
Yeah, no, that would.
Irish can't wash off, folks.
No, these lines on my face, I earned every one of them. Don't make me smile them away, okay?
Driftglass, I hate to tell you this, but groomer wars have broken out between the House of Trump and the House of DeSantis.
Oh, no. Whatever shall we do, Blue Gal?
Well, apparently, according to each other, the other one is a groomer of teen girls. Let them fight.
Let them fight. I am. Yeah.
And as you said, the summer's going to be lit.
It's going to be lit. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's why I think Trump hasn't talked about Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
You know, because a dog doesn't talk about the flea.
Yeah. She's just,
you know, and it is to his advantage to load up as many losers in that field as possible.
Yep.
So they can all fight each other and he can just stand by and pick up 30% of the vote and sail through the primaries. And
do you think he's going to show up for any debates?
Why would he?
I wouldn't.
Why would he? Unless, you know, he last time around.
Unless they can hold it at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
And right. he can charge them rack rate plus 30%.
Yeah.
Which he's doing. He's doing that with all of the Save America PAC fund money.
Oh, yeah. No,
he's having parties for House Republicans at Mar-a-Lago and then paying for it into his pocket.
The Republicans didn't really have primaries last time. They didn't have a platform.
Yeah. Right.
He blackmailed them into only having the debates he wanted in 2016.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he? I mean, as long as he's got an army of foaming at the mouth racist lunatics he can unleash on them and promise to make their lives miserable and promise to drive their stock prices down and promise to stop ever watching Fox News again, he can make any demands he wants. And I'm sure he will.
And he has a secret plan to end the war in Ukraine, Driftglass.
He does. It's called Ukraine Should Surrender. And Putin should let me put up that building in Moscow I wanted to put up all this time.
Don't forget, that was Nixon. That was not new to Trump.
No, I got a secret plan to win the war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
that's an old Republican trope, folks, from 1968.
Yeah. And I think there was a George Carlin routine about, the plan is to leave through Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand.
Exactly. Yeah. Bomb our way out.
It's the overland route. It'll take a little longer. But Trump's secret plan for Ukraine is like his secret healthcare plan, which is
in 2 weeks. Know,
just elect me and I'll figure it all out. Don't
worry
about it.
It'll be easy. It'll be super easy at a quarter of the cost.
Yeah.
And I'll have it written out for you in 2 weeks.
Another tragic casualty of the deep state liberal cancellation army, James O'Keefe. Of Project Terrorist. I'm sorry, Project Veritas. I always make that mistake. You know, that's just a slip of the tongue. He is on paid leave right now, and his right-wing slander factory is, quote, racked by unhappy donors and O'Keefe's outright cruel behavior towards his staff, according to an internal memo signed by a third of its employees. Now, I don't want to know what sort of filth would work for James O'Keefe, but apparently they're complaining that he is being mean to them. They allege that he wasted money on, quote, his theater dreams. He berated staff and even took a sandwich from a pregnant lady. Working for O'Keefe at Project Veritas can mean being, quote, publicly humiliated by him in what amounts to, quote, public crucifixions, and even being required to take lie detector tests, his unhappy employees wrote in this memo. This whole he's an asshole boss might be a smokescreen for the fact that he might get charges against him on the Ashley Biden diary. If you don't know about that story, you should Google it. Ashley Biden's diary is in the hands of Project Veritas, and the prosecutors very much want to know whether he knew it was stolen or not.
Right.
You know, why didn't he
ask?
It's
not about him paying for it, because that's legal.
Right.
You can buy, you know, materials from a source. You can pay a source. It is about whether or not he knew when he got it that it was stolen.
Uh-huh.
And that's a no-no. If you know it's stolen and you buy it anyway. And the two people who are charged with stealing it are cooperating with the FBI. So,
oh no.
Yeah, it's not good. And yeah, it could, I mean, him being an asshole boss, everyone believes that.
Sure. He's a monster.
The question is this them distancing themselves? And I don't think you're really distancing yourself from somebody if you're giving them paid leave. But he's in trouble. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And
it couldn't happen to a bigger asshole.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Yeah.
Hey, Driftglass, let's do a news roundup.
Sure. The Hill magazine reports that Never Trumper's great white hope, Larry Hogan, says he will support Trump if he's the nominee.
On CNN, Chris Sununu, the Never Trumper's emergency backup great white hope, said that he would support Donald Trump if he was the GOP nominee. And he says that he was just joking, you know, telling a little joke when he called Donald Trump fucking crazy. You know, that was just a little joke.
Just a little joke. You know, we Sununus are famous for our sense of humor. And I got to say, the number of heartbreak moaning and, oh, my God, not Larry Hogan, too, not Chris Sununu from Never Trumpers, is, you know, a little bit like music to my ears. They can't believe that these Republicans that they trusted turned out to be spineless, awful people. You could ask literally any liberal, and we would have told you this was your party, but you didn't want to listen to us. So they keep pinning their hopes to people that just collapse immediately afterwards. So, and they, of course, they don't want to be Democrats. So they're left just kind of looking at each other going, I wonder what happened to our little party. Well, again, ask a liberal and we'll tell you. This week, Democratic Representative Jerry Connolly flipped the GOP's Hunter Biden freak show on its head by asking questions about what Donald Trump had demanded of Twitter executives. Per the Rolling Stone, quote, Twitter kept entire database of Republican requests to censor posts, unquote. And it appears Jim Jordan forgot that his witnesses at Hunter Biden's Twitter file hearings would be under oath and that his Democratic colleagues would be given camera time.
Oh, no. Yeah. I hate it when happens.
Show me in the Roberts rules. Oh, God. You're right. Okay. P.S. This is why Tucker Carlson talked about, quote, abortion as human sacrifice on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes, he really did that.
Yeah, he was not going to talk about the Twitter files on his show because that went so dramatically bad.
Oh, yeah. It was gloriously awful.
So he has a random file of things that he can outrage his audience with. Right. And one of them is abortion as human sacrifice.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep. Which is, you remember 2016, that was Carly Fiorina's big thing.
Uh-huh.
That Planned Parenthood is chopping up babies and selling their
killing
parts.
Killing baby parts.
That's what liberals do. And, you know, call me crazy, but I tend to remember Liz Cheney talking about how Democrats all across the country are sacrificing live babies outside the womb. They're murdering them outside the womb. That's pure evil. That's,
but
you know.
Glass, I want to tell you something. Mm-hmm. I have read Marsha Blackburn's report from the baby parts committee that she had.
Oh, Lord.
And where she recommends, where her committee entirely, in its entirety, recommends continuation of T stem cell research. And they slid that report under the door between Christmas Day and New Year's.
Oh, God.
Because they wanted to have on TV We're so concerned about Planned Parenthood selling baby parts.
Right.
When no one was selling anything, and it was tissue that was transferred legally to research facilities to find treatments for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And Nancy Reagan begged them to continue the research into Alzheimer's using these cells. And so, you know, she did a report, a full report that said, yeah, we think this research should continue. And it was simply to launch her Senate campaign. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think she's the stupidest person in Congress. And I still think everything that she says or reports or puts out there is coming out of Kevin McCarthy's staff, even though she's a senator now, because she's Marsha Blackburn is an idiot. Okay.
Do you think stem cell research will ever cure what Marsha Blackburn has?
No.
That hair problem and that brain problem.
And that brain problem. Yeah.
No.
Louisiana mega bottom feeder / Congressman Clay Higgins at the Twitter hearings. He told the former Twitter employees who were there willingly to testify under oath about all the Twitter stuff, you're going to get arrested because you're the ones that rigged the 2020 election.
Yeah, it was. They were
there voluntarily responding to. They responded to a subpoena, but they were there. They did respond. Unlike Jim Jordan, they actually responded to a congressional subpoena.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a long discussion that's been going on for years about, but if Democrats did this, but if Republicans did this, which I think is now just part of the background noise for
every conversation. Yes, it is. Yes,
it's just, you know, they're all hypocrites, they're all liars, and a lot of them are racist, and that's just who they are, and that's what we have to deal with.
It still was hysterical to watch Clay Higgins threaten arrest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's what
he was. He wanted a clip to be on Newsmax. That's all he wanted.
By the way, here's a sentence that you only get if you watch Newsmax, like I do every now and then. The sentence is as follows: Alphonse D'Amato, Newsmax analyst. I looked over my shoulder, you know, half an hour ago, and wondered what that dried apple in a weird 3-piece pinstripe. Oh my God, that's Alphonse D'Amato. And under it,
and he's being
Chiron
paid
said,
by Newsmax to talk.
He's a Newsmax analyst, and he's sitting there twitching and flipping and turning his hearing aid up and down and smiling. And I didn't hear what he said because I don't care what he said. But yeah, Alphonse D'Amato is a Newsmax analyst.
Man.
So he's got a job. And you know why? You know who we should thank for that? Joe Biden. Because he has driven the U.S. unemployment rate so low, it fell to a 53-year low at 3.4%. Employers added 517,000 jobs in January, which is way higher than the 187,000 job estimates that preceded the actual announcement. More jobs have been created in the 2 years of the Biden administration than in the last three Republican administrations combined.
You know what comes with every job, Driftglass? Tax revenue.
Yeah. And dignity. Dignity. Dignity.
Dignity. Dignity and tax revenue. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a job.
U.S. District Judge Colleen Collar-Cottley suggested that the federal right to abortion might be protected by the Constitution's 13th Amendment, which bans involuntary servitude.
The FBI arrested two people and charged them with conspiracy to attack the electrical substations around Baltimore and completely destroy the city. Sarah Clendaniel and Brandon Russell plan to use firearms to, quote, inflict maximum harm on the power grid, according to the FBI. The plot was reportedly driven by ethnically or racially motivated extremist beliefs. Russell is the founder of the neo-Nazi group Atomwaffen.
So he's a Nazi, just like kind of Mary Miller Nazi lady from Illinois.
Yeah. You know, he's not an Illinois Nazi, but all Nazis are Nazis, you know? I don't confine my hatred only to Illinois Nazis.
No, all I don't Nazis. Either. I have a problem with all Nazis, yes.
Yeah. And those who accommodate them.
Some Supreme Court justices often use personal email accounts for work.
What? No, that can't be true. That can't
Court
be true.
Court employees reportedly said they were nervous about confronting the justices about using secure servers to transmit sensitive information. Despite the court calling the leak of a draft opinion reversing Roe v. Wade a, quote, grave assault on the court's legitimacy, three former court employees said that burn bags meant to ensure the safe destruction of sensitive materials were often left open and, and attended in hallways.
And Alito's porn would just spill out on the floor all over the place, leaving it to lesser folks to clean it up and burn it later. 67% of Americans expect inflation to rise over the next 6 months. 48% predict the market will fall. 41% predict unemployment will rise. And 43% say gross domestic product will fall. Also, I did the math on this. 0.0047% of Americans are actual economists, but griping makes you look so smart.
And the minute a Democrat puts a hand on the Bible, for some people, the economy goes into a tailspin, Driftglass.
Sure. And deficits suddenly appear out of nowhere.
Hannity says so.
Mm-hmm.
We have urgent breaking Chinese spy balloon news.
Mm-hmm.
There is no more urgent breaking Chinese spy balloon news. And there is no more Chinese spy balloon, except reporter Manu Raju asked Speaker Kevin McCarthy if he's okay with George Santos attending tomorrow's, I'm going to say this slowly now, classified briefing on China. And McCarthy said, yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Sure. Cool. George is great. He's my buddy.
This is the hearing that Arizona Republican Andy Biggs didn't attend because he had to go on Fox's Outnumbered to talk about the Chinese spy balloon. We had a hat tip Liz Power at Media Matters for this clip. Harris Faulkner said, Congressman Biggs, you were briefed on the China spy flight this morning. I know that some of it is classified. You can't share it all, but what can you tell us? And Andy Biggs said, well, I didn't go to that classified briefing because I was going to be on with you.
God, God.
But here's what I can tell you. And someone at Hullabaloo, Tom at Hullabaloo said, we're paying Republican influencers, not lawmakers.
Yeah, yeah. That's literally
it's
all
more important for them to be on camera on conservative outlets than it is to actually do the job of being a congressperson. 100%.
And this story comes to us from NPR. Yale University honors the work of a 9-year-old black girl whose neighbor reported her to the police. 9-year-old Bobby Wilson may be in the fourth grade, but last month, the Yale School of Public Health held a ceremony honoring the budding scientist's recent work. The university entered Bobby's collection of 27 spotted lanternflies, an extremely invasive species that's harmful to trees and other plants, into the Peabody Museum of Natural History database. Bobby was also presented with the title of, quote, donor scientist during a January 20th ceremony. Quote, we wanted to show her bravery and how inspiring she is, and we just want to make sure she continues to feel honored and loved by the Yale community. Igiona Opera, an assistant professor at the university, said in the statement. The accolades come just 3 months after Bobby, who is black, made headlines when former Caldwell City Council member Gordon Lawshe, who is white, called local police on the girl. She was collecting spotted lanternfly specimens. Her neighbor became frightened and called the cops.
And we have more local news carried over from last week when we ran out of time.
To answer the question, who the hell is Sarah Huckabee talking to? Let me explain some facts about life here in Trump country. Most communities of any size have giveaway papers. You've probably seen them. They're usually weekly, sometimes monthly. There's a penny saver or there's real estate circulars. Maybe an alternate news outlet like The Reader in Chicago, or here in Springfield, we have the Illinois Times. You find them near the exits of hardware stores or grocery stores. Basically, any place people are coming and going, you'll find them. For example, in Springfield, you can find the Times on Thursday, neatly stacked inside the Chase Bank ATM kiosk on Wabash Avenue. However, if you don't live in Trump country like we do, you probably are unfamiliar with a monthly giveaway paper called Gun News, which is not about gun safety or sensible gun control. It's published by Guns Save Life Incorporated, and it's all about how gun-grabbing liberals are coming for your assault weapons and bazookas and how to stop them. The one I'm holding now is for February of 2023, Volume 30, Number 2, meaning this hysterical rag has been in continuous publication for 30 years. So what was going on in 1993 that triggered the freak out of gun nuts and prompted the creation of outfits like publishers of Gun News? Well, here's a clue. After months of debate in November of 1993, a substantially watered-down version of the originally proposed assault weapons ban was finally passed by the U.S. Senate. In May of 1994, infamous gun-grabbing liberals like Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan wrote to the U.S. House of Representatives in supporting the ban, quote, semi-automatic assault guns, unquote. They cited a 1993 CNN USA Today Gallup poll that found 77% of Americans supported a ban on manufacture, sales, and possession of such weapons. 30 years later, here's what you see in some of these stories. This is the headline from that paper, Gun News. The headline is, "See You in Court," which refers to new restrictions and registration guidelines Governor Pritzker has signed into law. The Protect Illinois Communities Act, or PICA, bans the sale or transfer of assault weapons. People who already own such firearms will be required to register them with the state government by January 1st, 2024, once a system for registration has been created later this year. The law also, quote, caps the sale of high-capacity ammunition magazines, bans switches that convert legal handguns into assault weapons, and extends the ability of courts to prevent dangerous individuals from possessing a gun through firearm restraining orders, unquote. Since the passage of PICA, most Illinois county sheriffs who are elected by the voters have announced they will not enforce the law. Some sheriffs, like Jeff Connor of Madison County, cite the Supreme Court's radical Bruin decision last year as justification for not enforcing the law. There is also an editorial, and the whole paper is one long editorial, entitled "Go Pound Sand, Sheriff's Message for Pritzker." There are pages going into detail about various crimes committed in Chicago because the goobers down here hate Chicago for all the usual paranoid racist reasons. There are reprints of the National Review articles about how awful Pritzker is and those gun-grabbing liberals are. There are tons of ads for guns and gun shows and gun paraphernalia. The editor of the paper has announced what he calls Operation Ridicule, which is that it's the time for niceness is over. We have to screw these fuckers up. So don't walk around with your moron Labe thing on your arm or make threats, but attack them personally, attack them in public, call them out in public meetings, insult them personally, make up scandals about them, because you have to humiliate them and break them or they'll win. So it really is. And he quotes like Saul Alinsky.
Wow.
These guys are obsessed with Saul Alinsky and with George Soros for obvious Jewish-based reasons. Mm-hmm. But the communist Saul Alinsky has taught us that the best way to take on these monsters is as follows. And it really is this whole strategy for ridiculing and debasing people that you don't agree with to advance their insane gun agenda. The problem with that is, of course, if you don't respect the people who are ridiculing you, it doesn't work. And nobody respects these people.
Yep. If no one respects you, then it doesn't matter.
Oh, and they really, really hate Moms Demand Action.
Oh, radical, yes. Because we're effective. Yeah.
And the cartoons, the crudely drawn cartoons they make of them are just horrifying.
Yeah. I'm sure.
But these are the people that Sarah Huckabee's talking to.
Yeah.
Whose brains are just, lost to reason.
A federal judge wants answers from a Springfield man who was convicted in the January 6th breach. The federal judge in the case, this man was from Springfield, Illinois, convicted for his role in January 6th breach in the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., entered a minute order Friday, citing a State Journal Register article posted Wednesday. Judge Amit P. Mehta signed the legal document giving Thomas B. Adams Jr. until February 10th to answer why the court should not vacate his conviction in light of the statements made to the newspaper. Adams, 41, was found guilty and convicted Tuesday at a stipulated bench trial in Washington of obstructing a federal proceeding and aiding and abetting others in committing obstruction of a federal proceeding, both felonies, and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, a misdemeanor. But he wasn't charged with anything greater than that. Mm-hmm. Then, outside his home on Wednesday, Adams, who was out on his own recognizance, told the local newspaper, the Springfield Journal Register, "I wouldn't change anything I did," in reference to his part in the breach. "I didn't do anything. I still, to this day, even though I had to admit guilt in the stipulation of charges,
yeah,
I don't feel like I did what the charge said I did." And so now the judge wants to talk to him again.
Yeah. And it's like he thought he was in another country. Ha-ha! The federal government can't reach me in Illinois. Ha-ha!
Or the trial's over. Now I can shoot off my mouth.
Yeah. I got away with it. I told the judge what he wanted to hear, but really, I wouldn't change anything. Yeah. It was great.
It's in the local paper, and the judge got a copy of... Judges can't get a copy of the local newspaper. He's in Washington, D.C.
No. Again, every day I thank God these people are as stupid as they are.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's a Springfield man, Blue Gal. That's a local person who I'm sure thinks Sarah Huckabee's a genius and voted for Donald Trump and is looking forward to the next group of Sangamon County Republicans bringing I don't know what lunatic to the town to
And maybe whip he reads them up. Gun News. You don't know.
Maybe he does. Maybe he writes for Gun News. I don't know. But, you know, you don't really understand these things in your bones unless you live here and you interact with these sorts of things every day. You can be as thoughtful and caring and interested as you want, but if you are a member of the coastal media, you just don't understand. And that's the one thing I think we can bring to the conversation that almost nobody else can, which is we live here, we understand this, this is our everyday life, and that perspective is one which you can't find anywhere in the media, except in the occasional State of the Union address by President Joe Biden.
And we have a thanks to alert listener Steve from WGLT NPR from Illinois State University. Amid unprecedented prolonged revenue boom, state finds budget breathing room. And there are quotes in this article from State House Republicans as well as Democrats that they're actually able to plan ahead in Illinois now. For a budget, they have bigger rainy day funds than ever and a budget surplus and able to pay their bills on time. And as I said on Twitter, shorter Illinois politics, we legalized pot.
Yeah, we legalized pot. And now we have revenue.
Yep. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitties are Rocky and Jazz. Rocky and Jazz are two beautiful Siamese kitties who were supposed to be foster kitties, but showed up at this particular house and said, hashtag fail, this is our forever home. We live here now. And of course, Rocky and Jazz eat freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Rocky and Jazz. It's not a foster fail. It's a forever home success at our Facebook page and website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag fire to joy. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is a full-time job. Lots of listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal, postal address information, Patreon, merch, all of it is there at proleftpod.com. And if you need our mailing address, if you want to send us a card or anything, that's there too. So if you forgot anything, you don't have to write it down. Just go to proleftpod.com. It's all there.
It's right there. It's right in front of you.
Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen to. And thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass. How are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties will see you at the Biden infrastructure groundbreaking.
Fuck, man. Thank you, guys.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2023, DGBG Productions.